here we are at Realty Growth headquarters in Rochester, Minnesota. I'm Nick Pompain, one of the owners. This is Dylan.
Dylan Carty, I'm one of the owners.
One of the owners as well. So I guess we're going to have some owners talk on real estate.
What's the podcast called again? We're on the
RGI Report.
RGI Report, episode number what?
Well, no, this is like probably number like 8 or 9, I think, at
Holy
this stage.
Smokes.
We kind of took like a little bit of a hiatus there once Tanner decided to go up north to his hometown. We kind of stopped, I guess, on the podcast stuff, but we're back, and it's pretty exciting. So I think today is just going to be a pretty easygoing conversation, pretty fluid conversation. Maybe we can just kind of share our stories about how we got into real estate, why we got into real estate, what we're doing in real estate.
Just got kidnapped right out of the office.
Yeah, we did, right? I know. It's crazy. So, I don't know, Dylan, why don't you tell us your story a little bit on where you grew up and how you got introduced to the business and why you're doing what you're doing?
I grew up in southern Minnesota, small town of Medford, Minnesota. All we had was a Medford Outlet Mall, big piece of commercial real estate.
I remember that.
Built by a Playboy bunny in the 90s, I think.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
I can't remember her name. Grew up there, farm town. My father owned a little bit of property in Owatonna, so that's where it first started, and I got used to seeing him collect rent and things like that.
Would you ever go over there and, like, help out with stuff?
Oh,
pick up trash and things like that?
We had to mow the lawn. We had to do everything.
Oh, yeah, I remember doing that.
Never got paid.
Had
to mow the lawn. We got to eat every once in a while.
That's
my dad
good.
Would take us to this little, what was this little bar called in town, and they had sliders.
Sounds
if
good.
We worked all day at the apartments, we could go get a slider and a Mountain Dew, a can of Mountain Dew. And it was like $2 back then, but we'd go there and that was our payment. But yeah, all the time you'd do that. And I remember the first thing that was like kind of weird. I was like, my dad's either a drug dealer or this guy's paying him for something else. Because I didn't understand what the, you know, he'd knock on the door while I'm mowing the lawn and these guys would hand him a pile of cash. You know, nowadays you don't do it in cash, but.
Right.
It kind of twerked you to wonder, man, what's he doing there?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my gosh. That's
so
hilarious.
That kind of was my first interest, I think. And then graduated 2010. I graduated high school. Was coming to Rochester for law enforcement. Decided that wasn't for me. I'm better at breaking the law than following the law. And that's about right when I met
Bucky.
You and Bucky.
Yeah.
And I just started helping out, kind of mentored under Bucky, learned the business, and then got right into commercial real estate. And then it slowly developed over the years to where now I've founded the management side of the company 3 years ago and kind of just a full-service real estate guy, really.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And I remember when I first met Dylan, and Dylan tells the story way better than I do, and I'll probably have him tell, but when we first met Dylan, I think Dylan said, my dad said something like, you know, can't wear, something
like
that.
Yeah, like, I was working on something. Yeah. I was either working on, at that time I owned a little, my first house that I bought was just a crapshoot and it was like $40,000. And I was either working on my house and I had paint all over my clothes and I was going to meet Bucky for something and I had no idea. He's like, oh yeah, you're going to meet Nick and Ed Pompain. And I'm like,
sure.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds great. He's like, yeah, they're the owners of the brokerage. And I'm like, oh, sweet. I think the very first word your dad said to me was, well, you can't sell real estate
like
looking
that,
like that or
that,
something
yeah.
like that. And I'm
yeah.
like, well, I would have put my 3-piece suit on
yeah,
if I would have
right?
known I was meeting
oh
Ed Pompain. But.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I remember then, you know, you guys, Bucky had an office. You guys were officing in the basement of Riverside Building. I remember coming down there like, oh, man, we had several nights where it was like probably 7, 8 o'clock at night. And we were just like doing real estate stuff, which was. Really fun. I remember, and those are very fond memories that I have of the three of us.
I know it's different now. Like back then it was, we're hustling to sell property. And now it's like, we're hustling just to keep the business going.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a whole different aspect now.
It's pretty cool, but it's also fun to see how far we've come so far and, you know, still being where we are at in our lives. You know, we're still, I would say relatively young. I'm the old guy now, but I still think overall we're still relatively
seasoned.
Young, which is really fun.
That's
seasoned.
What
we there
we
go.
Seasoned.
Yeah. That's perfect. I like that. I like that a lot. That's hilarious. So anyways, I guess you know, my story is really similar to Dylan's, and I think a lot of us is I fell into it because of my family as well. And like Dylan remembers being a kid going to these properties probably when he was 4 or 5 years old, probably even. Mine was the same way. I remember I would go to the office, which at that time was at 1812 2nd Street. And my grandmother was actually my dad's secretary. And at that time...
Your dad was full-time real estate.
My dad was full-time real estate. Yep. And at that time, my mom was still a nurse at Mayo. And so... I would go with my dad to work, and because it was free childcare, because I would just sit behind the desk either with my dad when he wasn't on phone calls or meetings, or I'd be with my grandma. And so I have very fond memories of that. At that time, there was typewriters, so my grandma had a typewriter, and when she wasn't typing letters or whatever for the real estate office, I remember just going on there and just kind of type. I didn't know what I was doing, but it was just gibberish, right? But it was cool. It was really fun. And then just kind of going around, I have vivid memories of the whiteboard. So the whiteboards that actually we currently still have in the office were actually the original ones from the 1812 office building.
Oh, man, a lot of money. Yeah, made there's, off them whiteboards. Yeah,
exactly, right? A lot of deals have probably been written on those things. So, you know, we still have those in our current office, which is really cool. But I remember, you know, when I wasn't, you know, behind the desks, I was in the conference room. And there's this big skylight. I just remember it was a very bright room. It was really nice. And the bathrooms were actually contained in the space as well, which was great. And so if I had to go to the bathroom, I'd just go over there. And then I'd go grab a snack. And it was one of these vending machines that had like a sticky circular bottom. And you would move. It was crazy. You'd like move this wand. And there's like 6 selections. And you just move the wand and then push down. And sometimes it wouldn't work because the adhesive on the bottom of the sticky thing wouldn't always pick up the candy bar or whatever. I don't know. I just have these crazy memories. And then, of course, with the hotels, too. I mean, every Saturday, my brothers and I would go down with my dad. My grandma also worked at the hotel on the weekend at the front desk. And we would, quote, unquote, work, which usually involved going underneath the vending machines and trying to find loose change. And, you know.
Trying to bring revenue.
Trying to bring, yeah, exactly. We just, you know, we thought that was the greatest thing in the world if we could find a quarter or something. You know. But anyways, I mean, I think it's a story that, you know, most of us or a lot of us find ourselves in, especially here in our office, like you, Bucky, and I, for sure, of just kind of growing up in it. And, you know, at the time, I didn't realize that I would love it as much as I do. And even when I was in, you know, high school, I really enjoyed it. And I would go in with my dad on summers and stuff. I worked at the hotels in high school and college, but then there'd be days where I would just say, hey, I'm not working the front desk, like, and I would go with my dad. And for me, I guess I just didn't really realize how much I actually enjoyed it. I don't know why. I don't know if I just didn't think I could make a career out of it. I don't know. I don't know. It was really interesting. It was just like, oh, this is really fun. What dad's doing is really cool. But it never, honestly, it just really didn't cross my mind until my dad actually physically asked me the question.
How old were you when you think you really understood what he was doing? Because that was what it was for my dad. I don't think I really understood what he was doing until I was a junior, senior in high school.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think it was honestly the day, and I'll never forget it, the day when he like just straight up asked me if I would consider moving back to Rochester. And I mean, I remember this so vividly. It's crazy because I had just graduated from St. Olaf, so this would have been 2009. This was probably spring of actually 10. And I was starting to, I was applying to law schools and I was starting to get, you know, letters back and things like that. And I lived up in Minneapolis, and every morning, because I worked the night shift at the hotel in downtown Minneapolis, I would go running in the morning. And so I was running around the Lake of the Isles, and my dad called me. I mean, I honestly remember this so vividly. And, you know, we're chatting, like, hey, I'm sure you're, you know, starting to get things back from schools and stuff, and that's great. And, you know, how's everything going? And blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he stopped and he goes, you know, Nick, I've been thinking a lot about this. Would you ever consider moving back to Rochester and working with me? Because I know that you showed at least an interest. Yeah. And, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, I don't know. Like, I honestly never thought about it. And it's like, I look back at that and it's like,
such a pivotal moment.
It's like, wow, like, why didn't I? And I think there's a few reasons, right? I think like you too, probably. It's like you had an older sibling who didn't do it, right? And just like me, I had 2 older brothers who didn't go into the the family business, if you will. And mm-hmm. I just thought I had to forge my own path too, because that's what you do, right? That's what right. you do. And my sister, I knew wasn't, even though she's younger, she didn't show any type of interest and was always interested in going into medicine. So I knew that's the path that she was on. And I don't know, when you actually thought about it, I remember sitting down praying and thinking about it. And I was like, oh my God, like maybe this is my calling, I think.
Yeah, and it was probably so different for your dad. Like that was his full time.
It was.
For my dad, it was just a side hustle.
Yeah.
You know, so I never really, your dad was probably feeling a little bit of that, oh man, I would love to work with my son. This is my last chance, to say, to see if anybody wants to come into the family business.
Yeah, and that was like you said, it was a very pivotal moment for me as an individual, and it was something I'm never going to forget, because I look back and that was by far, at that time, the best decision I've ever made in my life, right? I mean, I would have gone into tons of debt, and I was thinking about going into something that I actually didn't even know if I wanted to do it.
Right. Because it was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing. It was that natural, you go to college. Oh, then what's next? Oh, you go to more school, right? And when I graduated, it was like the worst time in the history of the United States for college graduates to get a job. So there was some of that. And I don't know. It's just, it kind of just set the tone for everything else moving forward. And I don't know, real estate, I feel, it's been really great for all of us, mm-hmm. you know, and we not only sell real estate, but we own it ourselves. Right. And I know that you take really great pride in that. And maybe let's talk about that a little bit too, and owning real estate.
I think that's like, probably what, at least for me anyways, the original thought of doing real estate as a career wasn't, I want to be a real estate broker.
Yeah. Right?
It was like, man, I just kind of want to own real estate. That sounds awesome. It sounds like a long-term retirement plan, right? So I think that's what started it for me. And once I found out that selling real estate and things like that could maybe help me reach some goals quicker, I think that's what created the career path for me. And as soon as you hit the ground running and you actually started seeing income going, the only thing you could think about doing is buying real estate. Like that's, I think my wife sometimes gets annoyed because all I talk about is real estate.
Yeah.
And every time we have extra money, I'm like, no, let's buy real estate. Let's buy real estate.
Yeah.
And you know, you're at the point we are at with our real estate, we're not even really paying attention. Well, we're not making piles of money off this. This is a long-term play, but it's still so exciting.
It is. It's super exciting. And, you know, I agree with you. And for me, it doesn't even matter if it's like a single family home, a duplex, a 20 unit building, whatever, right? It's just fun to be able to say, I'm part of that. Oh, shoot. Oh my gosh. I'm almost ruining this podcast. Holy cow.
I don't know. I keep moving my mic and I don't know.
You know, it's fun. It is like playing Monopoly, but real life, and obviously with real money. So obviously you need to make sure you take your calculated risks and make sure you know what you're doing. But
there's so many different ways. Like that's why for me, it's always been gaining equity. And that's what's helped me continue to grow and flipping on a longer scale, so to say. But there's so many different ways you can make real estate lucrative. That's what's fun. We can be right now. It feels like I'm almost doing something different every day. And that, a lot of times it has nothing to do with property I own individually, but.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that, you know, is obviously interesting to me. You know, as I've gone down this career path, I've noticed I could never do anything else.
Yeah.
You talk to people all the time, you know, your wife's in medicine, my wife's in medicine, and, they're busy with things and stuff like that, but. And yes, there's different cases and things like that. I get that. But for us, it is really crazy, and it's something new every day, and it's completely unpredictable.
It's funny. I imagine that your wife the same. They have a hard time explaining what their husbands do.
Yes. Like, oh, yeah, it's really funny.
And then somebody asks us, and it's like, well, where do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Because I don't really know.
I agree with you. Everything. Yeah, it is actually really funny. My wife has had that. Like you said, your wife too. Several occasions, their colleagues will say, well, what does your husband do? And she'll just be like, well,
my wife's just like, I think stuff with real estate.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the best way to put it. But, you know, we wear so many different hats from, you know, being owner, tenant, landlord, buyer representatives to representing our own properties and being like an owner that you're wearing all these different hats and you have to utilize those different hats. And it's a daily thing. You never know what's going to get thrown at you.
You're you know, you have a ton of ownership in hotels.
Yeah.
I have a ton of ownership in apartments.
Right.
So, you know, we've each kind of like, ooh, now I'm a little interested in hotels because I know Nick knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Nick's a little bit, well, I know Dylan's not afraid of apartments.
So. Yeah. Well, I think that's the other really cool thing, right? Like each asset is...
offers
something different, right? And you know, there's sometimes bigger risks that come with potential bigger rewards, right? It's just, you know, where you're at in life. And but that's also what makes it really fun, because there's always something new to learn. And that's something that I've also really enjoyed about this whole, you know, real estate. And you know, our business has changed, right? We're going to continue to see our business changing and how we do things and what we're going to focus on. And that's what I'm really excited too for the future. I mean, Dylan, I got to commend you. When Dylan came to Bucky and I 3 years ago, we've been talking about starting a management arm for a while.
Your dad originally started the conversation.
And he did. And you know, Realty Growth did have a management arm for those out there that are listening. And when my dad and his partner came to me to ask if I would purchase the company, this would have been 8 years ago, I didn't have any interest at that time in management. For me, it was just a lot of headaches and dealing with, in my opinion, for me, it was overwhelming because it was too many people. And I'm an extrovert and I love people, but I started off in the business officially doing property management. I just decided, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can manage, you know, all these tenants, you know? And so I just said, you know what? No, I just want the brokerage. But, you know, after that, shortly, I would say, honestly, probably a year or two after that, you know, I remember you, Bucky, and I sitting down and be like, oh my gosh, like we have all these people that are asking us to manage and we don't do that.
We've always had a hard time saying no, but
right.
I think like what hit it for me was, well, one, your dad was always pushing me, yeah. I think, because my interest in apartments, yep. And I had a close relationship with them. And
yeah.
It was always one of those things where, Nick ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Dylan, you got to do it. I think the way where it hit me is we're doing it anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we're having these conversations.
Yeah.
We're doing these things with owners where we're doing it anyways. We just have to figure out the systems and the employees to make it easier on us.
I agree, and our clients, right, because it is a lot easier to have everything in-house and keep everything, what they call it, vertically integrated or whatever, mm-hmm. than to, you know, sell a building and then say, okay, well, we can't help you after that. And, you know, what I feel that we've done a very nice job in our firm is we build those relationships, which are so key just to business in general, and we've built a lot of trust, and these people want us to continue down that path with them, and that's just so pivotal in this, in any business, but really in real estate as well, because as we all know, there's a million different real estate people that you could go to, right? So what makes us different about, you know, Joe Smith or Mandy Anderson? And I think it's just being able to have that trust and maintain that trust that we'll do what's best for them always. And, you know, Dylan, you've done an awesome job. I mean, Bucky and I talk about it all the time, the three of us, about how the growth on the management arm alone, I mean, it was, what, 3 years ago, and I remember I think we started with 40 units. And now where are we, Dylan?
Like 900 units.
900 units, and you're talking 3 years. So talk about, like, massive growth in a very short period of time, which we have our challenges, right? Like, let's talk about that a little bit. Like, what are those challenges?
Well, growing too quick, right? I think that's everybody's fear and a huge challenge, you know, because then that creates, you realize you need staffing, you realize you need more staffing and more staffing. And
staffing's an issue in itself, right? Like, every business, I mean, it doesn't matter what you're in, staffing is a huge issue right now.
For sure. And then systems, like, you know, when we started the management company with 40 units, I think it was, I don't even know if we had a software, you know, and then you start to realize we're taking this more serious, and then you have a management software, and there's so many things to the software, and there's support companies you got to deal with. I mean, I think the hardest part that I'm just starting to realize, and I know you struggle with it too, is saying no, because we've never really marketed the management business, and we've never really had to. But, you know, we're starting to be in a position where we have to say no, because we're reaching the point in our business where we have to kind of pump the brakes a little bit. We can't, you know, we can't just tell everyone yes. And that's been forever. It's been tough in this business saying no, you know, in a lot of cases that, in some cases, can get you taken advantage of and can hurt your business. So
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, of course we don't want to say no to business. But once again, that's the way I look at that is we would be doing a disservice to those people if we said yes all the time, right? Right. The whole idea is to continue to give, whether it's in management or brokerage, giving our clients and the people that we work with that continued care so that they can continue to trust us and we can continue to move forward with them.
That's what makes it so tough is in order for us to say no, we almost have to say quit selling property.
Because
these people, you know, they won't go to anyone else for that. They trust us as their advisors. And if we tell them no, that means they're saying no and they can't buy more real estate. So it's just finding that fine balance of, and I think that's where we're at in our business. A pivotal point is selecting, you know, being more selective with the properties we take on and finding the niche spending time on systems and staffing,
I think is. And I agree with you, and that's really important. And what a good problem to have, I guess. I know that sounds funny or...
It's more normal than I thought. Like, I did a lot of research on it with other management companies and other businesses like ourselves that are in the same position where it seems like you hit the mark of 700 to 1,000 units. You're really struggling trying to figure out the perfect systems and right at that cusp where your software has different features as soon as you hit certain criteria.
Yeah.
So we're right there, and I think we're definitely doing what needs to be done to make it happen, but it's time.
So, you know, as I don't know how much time we have left, but let's talk about a little bit about what you envision for Realty Growth just in general. Let's talk specifically the management side of things. Where do you see that going? You know, what do you want to continue to see? What can you tell, I guess, our people that are listening, our viewers, or whatever you want to say out there, you know, if people are interested in either having someone working with us on that side, or, you know, they're looking at getting into real estate and doing it themselves. Let's just talk about that, I guess, for a little bit.
Yeah, I think the thing I tell a lot of people when they're, especially if it's somebody who's just starting to buy real estate, maybe they bought a fourplex, something like that, is honestly try it yourself first, because you'll never find the value in a property management company until you've seen it yourself. And it's weird. People look at you funny when you say that, like, no, don't hire me. Like, give it a shot.
Right? Yeah.
Like, give it a shot. That's what helped me with my properties. That's what will help them. And it may turn out they manage their property just fine. But realistically, their real estate goals are probably much higher than that, right? They probably don't want to have one fourplex. They probably want to have 400 units.
Yeah.
And they're going to get to that point regardless, where they need a team and somebody who can come in and help. And we'll have that. You know, my goal is to, and our goal, I think, is to build a firm, like you said, that's full service, where we have probably a couple thousand units in a market, and then we can help people identify other markets and do the same thing there. And I think that would put us at a point where there's no reason for anyone to go anywhere else. And we feel like we're doing the full service and helping our customers, because I want to go wherever our customers want.
Yeah.
You know, and if they want to get into a different asset class or whatever it may be, we want to be right there with them, whatever it is. I think we're too, we're too deep in now where you can't go anywhere but where your customers and your business is going to require you to go. And I think Rochester, we're always going to be here.
Right. Well, this is home base, right? Since 1978, we're not going anywhere. And, you know, if we wanted to be in Florida, I think we would have done that a long time ago. You know, sometimes this weather drives me to want to go there and live there. But that's just not in the cards. This is home. This is where I was born and raised and where my roots are. And I'm not going anywhere.
Just continuing to grow. I think that's the thing.
And I think that's right.
Growing in different directions. Growing doesn't always mean more units.
Correct.
Growing doesn't always mean more money.
Correct. Right? That's correct.
Growing can be in a number of areas. Like, one thing I want to grow in my life is I want to get more of my time back, right?
Yep.
So I can spend time with my wife and go on vacations. I was talking to my little brother, Nate, who works in the business, very important role in the business, and he just got back from Cabo, and he said...
Just got engaged. I mean, way engaged. To go, Nate. Yeah, congratulations. Nate.
And he's very good at this. He's very good at the work-life balance. And it's funny having a younger brother who you're kind of listening to... How do you do that? You go to Mexico every year. You go on these vacations. How do you not sit there and worry? Is everything going to be okay? Right. So I'd like to see that in my future, right? And I think that's just, again, figuring out systems and staff where I feel comfortable enough to do that. And I think that's, we all have.
Yeah, we all have that. And I think that's really important too,
right? Even when we go somewhere, we have a hard time just putting our phone down and disconnecting. We probably hear it from our wives all the time. Yep. So.
And I think that's really important. And I think that's one thing that I've learned, you know, in my real estate journey so far is that, we could probably work 24 hours a day. I mean, let's be honest. And what I learned very quickly, well, not very quickly, not quick enough, I would say, but probably within my first 5 years of doing this, is that you need to make sure that you take time for yourself and the people and the things that you love. Because if you can't get that right, you're not going to be able to get the business right either. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely agree with Dylan on that, where, you know, I've gone through a executive coaching thing this year, which has been really, really cool. Because it made me realize certain things that maybe I'm just not looking at in the right way, and also realizing the possibilities and the things that I can do. And I remember my coach Chris, he's really an awesome guy from Los Angeles and works with all sorts of really cool people, like super cool people that I can't say, but it's pretty awesome who he's worked with. And Chris, I remember the first time that we talked when he came in from Los Angeles, he said, "Nick, you don't have to do anything." And that really resonated with me. And I was like, "Well, what do you mean? Yes, I do. I have to do this, and this. Like, I have to." And he's like, "No, you don't." Yeah. Because you don't have to do anything. And just also just changing my mindset and the way that I think about things is, you know, we're always growing, right? Like, there's certain things that happen in our lives, and we shouldn't look at it as a negative thing, but rather as an opportunity to grow as an individual. And so a lot of these things that I've learned in this coaching over the last, what is it, probably 6-7 months is, you know, make sure that you do take time. And if you do, you know, it's just so helpful for mentally and just with everything. And it just completely changes your mindset on things. And we've seen a lot of changes in our business. And I just know that there's going to be more to come, and we just adapt, and we have. Yeah. And everything's going to be just fine because it's been awesome.
Yeah, and for me, that's one of the things, you know, like, why do you get into real estate? Was you want your time back, right?
Yeah.
But we're at that point where we have to spend this time in the business, and hopefully it'll hit. But some people are way better than others and taking that right now. And I think more so it creates a better work. Like, even your mood in the office, less drained, less, you know. So I think that's something that a lot of people get sucked in all over the web, social media. Everybody always talks about, oh, you got to work harder than the next guy. I'm working harder than you. And it's like, there's no prize for the person who works the hardest.
No, right? You're
like,
right.
It's like, we can all say we're working the hardest, but what are we winning?
Right?
Like, so I think as long as you're doing everything you can for your customers and you're doing everything you can for yourself, you know, the rewards will come.
That's exactly right. And, you know, like we've always talked about, slow and steady wins the race. And oftentimes, you know, we need to keep our eyes on that prize. And I think in this world that we're in, we want everything now, right? And the reality of things is that's not going to happen, right? Yeah. We're not going to get everything
and
now.
And in our business, more than anything, that's where people get caught up.
Correct.
Right? They're like, oh my gosh, owning real estate, I need to own it all. I need to do it now, you know, and people get caught up in the glamour of it.
Correct. So, you know, patience, right? We preach patience. And I think that's a very key thing in this business is patience. Yeah, and I think one of our next ones, we should actually get you, Bucky, and I, the three owners, to really kind of talk about, like, our goals and you know, our aspirations for what we want to do with Realty Growth, because I know we try to have our weekly meetings, and things are, like, really exciting, and we got a lot of really cool things on the horizon.
Yeah, I think another thing, too, is how we can relate to people who, because sometimes for the general public, they might think, oh, owning a real estate company, that sounds awesome. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And kind of relating to the business owners, whether it's real estate business or not, on the real life struggles of it, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Like opening it up and saying, hey, it's not all glamorous. Everybody thinks it is, right?
Right. Yeah, well, for sure. So I think we got to talk to our guy, Nathan, our social media marketing guy, and say, hey, we got our next podcast. We're going to have Nick, Bucky, and Dylan talk about, you know.
I think we got to do – that one's got to be – we can't sit in the studio. We got to do something. We got to have something crazy for that
one. All right. Well, Nathan's the creative, so, you know, maybe – Nathan, you got to come up with something crazy.
He's got a boat or something. Maybe we'll sit on his boat.
Oh, gosh, that'd be a good idea. Yeah, right on Lake Pepin, that would be a nice thing. Yeah, for sure. Well, I think we're pretty much up on our time. So is there any last words, Dylan, that you want to say in regards to either your journey or just real estate in general?
No, I just say pay attention, Nathan, and all of us are doing some awesome things. So pay attention and go easy on us with the podcast. Like I think it's going to be something that's going to develop. If anybody who listens to the podcast knows the first episode is never as good as the 500th episode. So,
yeah, I would agree with you. And I would just say anybody out there that's, you know, looking to just talk about real estate, you know, we're here. That's what we do. You know, we're advisors, but we're also, I like to say, educators.
We're real people.
Yeah, we live here. We work here.
Don't be afraid to buy me a beer.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Yeah, that sounds really good. So, yeah, I would just say reach out to us if there's ever any questions about anything. We're more than happy to do that. You know, we don't have anything to hide.
Right.
We have a lot to share.
Well, a couple things, but.
Okay. Yeah, those won't be talked about then. So, all anyways. Right, sweet. Well, that's it. Appreciate everybody out there. Thank you for listening to the RGI Report this week. Take care.